It don't make no difference what it is. He says at all times, when I marry my wife, we were friends first. Then we became closer than brothers. And what happened?
Is evidence that we're running. Hope you enjoy our pastor's message. I'm Brother Michael Williams. Thank you for listening. We pray you were enlightened spiritually by our radio broadcast. If you would like a copy of our service or support us by donation, write us at Bethany Ministry Center, P.O. Box 6764, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307, or call us at 318-561-0064 and leave a message. Join us next Saturday at 12:15 p.m.
K-A-Y-T 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. K-A-Y-T 88.1 FM.
The Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Did you see that? Jesus was manifested in these last times. He's talking about the last days. Jesus was manifested in the last days for who? For you and for me. He was revealed for us, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit under unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower thereof falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Amen. I thank God. I want to call your attention tonight to verse number 19, that we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Amen. We're redeemed from what? We're redeemed from all iniquity. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. We're redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Amen. We're redeemed from Satan's authority, his power and his control, which means I don't have to submit to the devil. I don't have to live a sinful life, and I'm saved by grace. Glory to God. All I can say to you, I'm saved by grace. I'm delivered from the power of darkness. Amen. And I'm redeemed from all iniquity. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I have eternal life because of that. I'm saved. I'm delivered from Satan, and I don't have to live a sinful life. Amen. And then I like verse number 23 here. It says, being born again. Everybody say born again. being born again, not of corruptible seed, that's perishable seed, but of incorruptible, non-perishable seed. The word of God is non-perishable, non-destructible. It's everlasting and ever living. The word of God is full of life and full of power. Amen. And it's when we mix faith with that word, it calls us to be born anew, born from above. It calls our spiritual DNA to change. Now we got the life of God in us, and we are partakers of his divine nature. How many of you are partakers of his divine nature? Oh, I'm a partaker. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a partaker of the divine nature of God. Go ahead, look at him again and say, I've got the life of God in me. Go ahead and say, I'm born again. Don't be afraid to use that word, born again. I'm born from above. I'm born of the Spirit. Glory to God. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a new creation. On the inside. I'm born again by believing the word. When I believe that Jesus died for my sins and that God raised him from the dead and that he is King of kings and Lord of lords and that he's alive at this very moment that I'm speaking and I asked him to come into my life and to forgive me and I repented of my sins, I'm going to tell you he did something for me that I couldn't do for myself. He gave me his very own life and his very own nature. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any man's in union with Christ, if any man is joined to Christ, how many of you have been joined to him? How many of you are in union with him? Then you ain't who you used to be. Look at your neighbor and say, I ain't who I used to be. Old things didn't pass away. Not until I really believed with my heart and really prayed from my heart, then old things pass away. And behold, all things are become new. Not all things became new, but everything is become new. That means I'm still tasting of new things. Everything become new. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. Amen. I'm still in pursuit of God. Everything have become new. Old things pass away. Behold, all things are become new. Well, what became new? I'm going to tell you, in your heart, something became new on the inside of you. I'm going to tell you, there's a new nature in you. Glory to God. I'm going to tell you, I'm so glad when I got saved, all of a sudden, I didn't want to do wrong. My desires changed. I didn't want to sin anymore. I just wanted to please God. I just wanted to do God's will. I just wanted to delight his heart. I said, man, that's amazing to me. I don't want to do them things I used to do. My spiritual eyes opened up. And that blindness that Satan had blinded me with was gone. See, Jesus annihilated that spiritual blindness. And now I can see, glory to God. Now I can hear with spiritual ears and see with spiritual eyes and believe with a brand new heart. Glory to God. My whole life changed, and your life changed too if you're really born again. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a new creature in Christ. Say, I'm a new creation. Tell your neighbor, say, God lives in me. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. That means that the word is alive. And it's alive right now. That means it's full and packed with the life of God. The word of God's full of life. Jesus said, you're clean by the word that I've spoken to you. See, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That means they are living. They are alive. Amen. Amen. Hebrews tells us that the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to tell you, when we got born again, we became partakers of God's divine nature. All right, look at chapter 1 again, the same chapter. Look at verse 3. It said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again. In other words, or he has given birth to us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that faded not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Amen. We are partakers of the divine nature of God. Amen. Now, turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Everybody say, I'm a partaker of God's divine nature. All right, well, what does that really mean? Well, what is the nature of God? What is the nature of God? If I'm a partaker of his divine nature, then what is it? What have I become a partaker of? What are you a partaker of? You say you're a partaker of his divine nature, then what do you have inside of you? If you say the life of God is in you, amen, how does that life manifest? How does the life of God manifest in you? How does the life of God in you manifest itself to the world? You got his divine nature in it. What is the nature of God? All right, well, let's look at it right here in Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse number 22. Look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit. Everybody say the fruit of the Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Meekness. Self-control. Amen. Praise God. Notice here, it says, against such there is no law. For they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. Now, if we are partakers of God's divine nature and we got the life of God in us, then there's going to be a manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit is the nature of God. Amen. Praise God. And if it's not the nature of God, then we don't need any of it. We don't need any of it. Amen. We don't need to walk in none of this if it ain't of God. But we know that every one of these, there are nine fruit of the Spirit mentioned here. Nine of them. Then there's nine gifts of the Spirit. And we know that three is the number of perfection. So what we're looking at is perfection times perfection. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm going to tell you, God gave us the whole package. This is a part of our inheritance. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Everybody say it. Love, joy, and peace. Say it again. Love, joy, and peace. Amen. So when we say we're partakers of divine nature, we are partakers of God's love. God's love for us, God's love in us, and God's love through us. Actually, the love of God is four dimensions. Isn't it? Height, depth, breadth, and length. We live in a three-dimensional world. But the love of God puts you in another dimension. Yes. Glory to God. When you walk in love, God is walking in you. That puts you in another dimension. Don't you know that if God's walking in you and God's talking to you, you're living on a higher plane? You're living in another dimension? You see things different when the love of God's manifested in you? Amen. You don't handle situations the way people in the world handle them. Because you're walking by that royal law. Love is the royal law of God. Amen. Love never fails. The love of God never fails to deliver. It never fails to bless. It never fails. When you're walking in love, God's walking in you. That puts you on another plane. That gives you another level of understanding to where you have spiritual wisdom, because it takes wisdom to walk in the love of God, not a human wisdom, not a worldly wisdom, and not a demonic wisdom, but a wisdom that comes from God that allows you to see the true nature of a thing and how to respond in the same manner that God would respond. When you walk in love. See, people think that love is weak, but ain't nothing weak about God. The Bible said God is love. How can love be weak? I'll tell you, love ain't weak. Love is strong. Love is powerful. It was love that delivers. It's love that heals. It's love that casts out devils. It's love that brings restoration. It's love that brings reconciliation. Glory to God. It is the love of God that brings hope and strength and peace and joy. Love is like the cement that holds everything together. It's the glue that holds your life together. That's why it's mentioned first here. Because if you ain't got love, you ain't got nothing. The Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit, when you walk in the fruit of the Spirit, it will help you discern the perfect will of God. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 1. All right, now look, if you ain't living right, just look down a little bit. Look up. If you ain't living right, don't look up. Okay. Look at verse 32 of chapter 4. Be ye kind one to another. Everybody say kindness. Kindness is a manifestation of love. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted. Tenderhearted means not stout-hearted, not hard-hearted. Tenderhearted means having compassion. Amen. Not callous on the inside, but soft on the inside. Amen. Full of compassion, full of eager yearning and desire to aid and assist. Be kind, tenderhearted, and what? Forgiving. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How many of y'all been forgiven? Then you better not be holding unforgiveness in your heart toward anybody else if you've been forgiven. Amen. Forgiveness is a manifestation of love. Amen. Didn't God forgive us? Then he requires that we forgive one another. We're talking about love right now. Amen. And then he's just going to get more plain with it. He said, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love. Everybody say walk in love. Walk. That word walk means to conduct yourself. It means to act in love, to conduct yourself, to have that as a manner of living, a way of life. Amen. Live by the love of God. Live by the law of love. Amen. Love is the royal law. And walk in love. Well, isn't being tenderhearted love? Isn't forgiveness, releasing forgiveness to people, giving forgiveness, granting forgiveness, isn't that a manifestation of love? Isn't being kind, walking in love? Sure it is. He said, and walk in love, hallelujah, as Christ also has loved us and have given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor, a fragrance. So the Bible says that God loves us. Everybody say, I'm loved by God. So God loves me. God loves me with a passion. I'm going to tell you, you got to believe that God loves you. See, most people worry because they think God don't care. Most people have fear in their life because they think God ain't around. But if you know God is with you, you really know that from the inside, you don't have no fear. Every time somebody in the Bible got afraid of something, God would say, I'm with you. And it was to remove the fear from their life. And when they believed that God was with them, then that gave them the confidence and the courage to go ahead and do what he told them to do. He promised them his presence. I'll be with you. All right, I might not be able to see him, but he's here. I'm going to tell you, he's here with me tonight. And there's some angels in this room tonight. Glory to God. Glory, because he loves us. Because God enjoys being with us. Amen. This is not a grief to him to come down to Alexandria tonight at 4701 Lee Street. He's not grieved about our service time. In fact, he looked forward to the time he get his children together. Hallelujah. He gives us an instruction. Walk in love as Christ also loved us. He said, love the same way Jesus loved. Amen. And then he's going to give us some instruction. Now, he said, now, I'm going to tell you how to walk in love. Now, when you're walking in love, there are going to be some things you're just not going to do. But fornication. But fornication and all uncleanness, indecency. That would include pornography, sexting, all that's unclean. Spirits that make you unclean in your thinking, that make you unclean in your imagination, that make you unclean in your mouth with the words that you speak, that defile you with wrong thoughts and wrong actions. He say uncleanness. Or covetousness, that's greed. Let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. Everybody say, I'm a saint. All right, then you know what you ain't supposed to be doing. Saints don't fornicate. Not supposed to. I had to qualify that, didn't I? Saints ain't supposed to fornicate. Saints are not supposed to walk in uncleanness, not supposed to have a filthy mind and filthy mouth. Filthy actions. Amen. Now, we're going to get back to the fruit of the Spirit here, but let's deal with this. Amen. He says, let it not be once named among you. Well, Pastor, I just slipped one time. He said, don't let it be named not even one time. Now, he's not trying to deprive us of anything. He's showing us a way of love. Because when you fornicate, you have unclean thoughts and things, you ain't walking in love. Neither filthiness, oh my goodness, nor foolish talking. Foolish talking, that's words that don't edify. Foolish talking, crazy talk. Nor jesting, that's uncoarse jokes and stuff, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Paul said, now y'all ought to know this. Didn't he? For this you know. That means he had taught this to him. For this you know that no whoremonger or unclean person have any inheritance, or covetous man who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with empty words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. Somebody ain't living right, don't you join up with them. I'm not telling you better than anybody else. I'm just saying don't participate. Stay in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. Amen. I'm going to tell you, so much blessing come to you. Just keep yourself in the love of God. Amen. But sometimes, you know, Paul had to put this in. Let no man deceive you. You know why he had to say that? Because there were a group of people. There were people that were saying, it's okay now that you say for you to do that. God understand. Oh, it don't matter. Now you saved by grace. You can live how you want to. Just ask God to forgive you. Paul said, don't let nobody deceive you. It's because of these things, God's wrath will come upon the children of disobedience. See, God's wrath ain't just in the Old Testament. This is New Testament, ain't it? The last time I read there. This New Testament, the wrath of God comes on children of disobedience, children that won't obey. Because if you do these things, then the wrath is going to come on you. And I don't know how that's going to manifest. I ain't studied that out. I don't know how that manifests, but I can tell you it ain't good. Paul was warning them. He says, look here, verse 8. For you were sometimes, or at one time, darkness. But now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as what? Children of light. Now look at, here's the fruit, the scripture I want to get to. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now this is what the Bible say. It would be nice for me to just come here and pep you up every Sunday. Just encourage you to keep going on with God. He's going to bless you, bless you, bless you. But I'm going to tell you, that ain't all the Bible got to say. Paul said, expose these things. It's not to bring condemnation. It's not to bring, you know, hurt. It's not to hurt anybody. But it is so that people will be partakers of God's holiness. And if you're a partaker of God's holiness, then naturally that blessing and all them doors that we could talk about, all them good encouraging things we could say about God will come upon you and overtake you. There'll be blessing you'll receive you ain't even asked for. Opportunities will come to you wasn't even looking for. I'm going to tell you, God wants to bless you, have great desire to do it, but you can't go opposite of the way he wants you to live. Praise God. But it's good. I'm going to tell you, holiness is good. When you live righteously before God, I'm going to tell you, there ain't no limit to what God can do in your life. If you mess up, you ask God to forgive you. And then you make a decision. I ain't doing that no more. I'm going on with God. I'm going to stop this stuff that I've been doing that ain't right. I'm going to live righteously before God because I want all that God has for me. Praise God. See, the fruit of the Spirit will help you determine what is acceptable to God. So if I got joy in me and peace and the love of God and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and self-control, if these things are in me and they're abounding in me, then when I'm faced with situations and circumstances, all I got to do is look inside and see if this circumstance or what I'm getting ready to do, does it violate any of the fruit that's in me? Does it violate anything on the inside of me? I can check with the fruit of the Spirit. Does this follow love? Is this going to produce joy? Is this going to bring peace into my life? Is this going to cause me to be gentle? Am I going to be real ugly? Am I going to be long-suffering? Long-suffering means suffer long, but it also means to be slow to retaliate a wrong. How many of y'all like to get them quick? You hit me, I'm going to hit you back. You know, we used to live by that law when we was little. I remember one time, a little old boy hit a girl that was year older than me. He slapped a little old boy. He ain't hurt her. But boy, she popped him good. Pa-ya! And everybody jumped on and said, why you want to hit that little old boy? He big enough to dish it out. He ought to be big enough to take some of it. I said, but yeah, but he a little old bitty thing. That little old boy ain't hurt you. Why you hit him so hard? He need to learn. If he going to dish it out, he better be able to take it. I'll never forget that day. Quick to retaliate an evil. Somebody cuss you out, quick just go and cuss back. How many of you ever had your temple get involved and say, now hold on a minute here now. But you know, if you check the fruit of the Spirit there's a way for you to walk in love in any situation without you getting in the flesh. How many of you know that flesh begets flesh? Amen. Now, Romans 5:5 says that the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, who's given to us. Amen. Now, these are things that we can know. The love of God is in me. Say, the love of God's in me. That's part of the divine nature. Say it. That's part of the divine nature of God. It's his love has been poured forth into my heart by the Holy Ghost.